Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. When's the last time you went to a drive-in movie? Remember the drive-ins when they were a natural part of the landscape? The lore and legend of rowdy teens, of cheesy B-movies, and the American graffiti landscape of endless summers? Well, they're not dead yet, though some are troubled. The film industry is converting to digital projection. That can be expensive, and some drive-ins and small theaters may not make it. They may not have the money it takes to convert from their old film projectors. The drive-in business has already faced its share of tough breaks, going back to the 1980s when soaring suburban land prices convinced many operators to cash out. More than 1,000 screens closed during that time, but some in the business are seeing a bit of a rebound now. Owners report this has been a good summer. And Indiana, it turns out, is something of a drive-in hotbed. According to the United Drive-In Theater Owners Association, that's the UDITOA, we have more drive-ins here than any other states except for Pennsylvania, New York, and Ohio. Hey, we're number four. To see why that is, we visited the Tibbs Drive-In on the west side of Indianapolis. It's the second largest in the state. Pizza, nachos, and other health food in the concession stand, a playground for the kids, and the home away from home for the past 18 years for owner Ed Quilling. Ed and I stepped outside his office to take a look at his lot, 22 acres of parking spaces surrounded by four gigantic movie screens. He's in the flight path of Indianapolis International Airport, so you may hear the occasional jet overhead as we chat.
For people who've not been to a drive-in for a while, this looks like a drive-in, but right. Missing are those speakers, right?
Correct. When we purchased it, we did away with the speakers because they have the everyone has a radio sound now, and the cost of the speakers was prohibitive. Plus, you get a better sound system with your car radio than you do with the cheap speaker boxes.
What's this business like now?
Well, it's a business. It's not, it's fun. There's different people, things like that, but it is a business. You have to maintain, maintenance, things like that, you know, accounting, payroll.
I'm looking out here. Kind of describe where we are.
Yeah, we're standing out at, this is screen number four, faces east.
How many cars can you have? Four screens at the Tibbs Drive-In.
Right. Well, 1,600 is the maximum capacity, but now with SUVs and trucks come in and people, we lose some of that space.
What's this business like for people who haven't? You've been in it for a while. You were a projectionist going
right.
back a ways. The drive-in theater business, some of us remember it growing up. It's also a fixture of movies. You know, it's been in the movies. What do people not know about the drive-in business?
Right. Well, it's changed from the 80s when the multiplex is opened and the drive-ins weren't running the first run pictures. But since we've purchased it 18 years ago, we run all first run off the break pictures. It's not a sub run or a movie B.
Yeah, they used to run the horror movie, the real cheap
right.
kind of Creature of the Black Lagoon stuff.
Right. So, you know, we run the first run off the break. People have found us that want to bring their families and, you know, their kids out. And some of them can go to sleep and they can still watch a movie compared to the indoors.
What's it cost for a car to come in with a family?
Well, it's $10 per person and kids 4 to 12 or $5. And that's for a double feature of first run movies. So it is reasonable. And we try and keep our concession prices reasonable and candy prices compared to the indoors and other venues of entertainment.
We have a concession stand, but it looks almost like a full restaurant. I mean, it's not just candy bars.
No, yeah. No. We have pizza, which we make ourselves, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, nachos, and cheese, and fries. So, yeah, it's a full restaurant, you might say.
what's news in the drive-in industry? If there were a drive-in owner's magazine, you know, for people in the industry, what are they talking about these days?
Well, the main thing is the digital conversion. That's on everybody's mind. There's quite a few that have converted and have converted in the state of Indiana. And for the running of it compared to film, they said it's super. The only drawback is the cost.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, the cost is $75,000 per screen.
And digital conversion, right now, you load up a projector and you put in film.
Right, now we have 35mm film, but studios are talking, they're eliminating it. Now next week.
It's expensive to ship that film around, right?
Right, right. We pay a portion of that, but they pay a greater portion. So that's one of the main things they're trying to get away with, and the cost of film compared to digital reprint.
How will the movies come to you?
Well, it'll be a hard drive that we inject with certain safety codes and security codes into those projectors, what they do. And also, like next week, new movie coming out, The Getaway, is only done in digital. And there's been a couple this summer that are only digital.
So at some point, all of them will be.
Right, that's
when will that be?
I would say another reality, probably 2 years. But there's going to be less and less prints, so you need to do the conversion now. We're going to do it next spring in March before we open, and that way won't have a problem.
Sounds like you're going to have to invest $300,000 in your business without necessarily, by the way, we're in the flight path of
Yeah. You should see the FedEx planes about 11 o'clock at night that come over every night. Yes, we are.
It's not too low. But so in the spring, you're looking at needing to spend $300,000 capital investment in your business, but the customers won't even know a difference, right?
Correct. Well, the picture will be sharper focus-wise. It'll be a little brighter all over the screen. Even now, with the Xeon bulbs, you can't get the edges bright. But with the digital, it'll be bright all over.
Kind of like high def? I mean,
yeah, that's what the look will be. Okay. And that's what people, younger generations, are used to. It's not good, according to film critics.
No kidding.
Because, I don't know, it's a mind, in your mind with film, how it loses you, they say. But nowadays, everybody's used to high def.
That's the
coming generation.
What's happening with attendance at drive-ins nationally? Up, down, staying the same?
Well, this year attendance is up everywhere. There's been good product. If you run your place right, you maintain it, you know, things of that nature, people will come and our attendance is up.
You can make money in this business still.
Yes, if you have the right place and do it right. Now, there are new drive-ins.
Because a lot of them have closed, right?
Yes. Well, they've closed because in the 80s with dwindling attendance and not getting the movies and the multiplexes. And also they were located where land was very valuable for strip malls and apartment complexes and things of that nature. I just received an email today of...
Chopper, inbound.
Yeah. There is a lot of that noise.
So if we're watching a movie, just turn up the volume.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't even notice it because a lot of this activity will be down.
Because you're probably watching a movie with Apocalypse Now or something.
Right.
Ed Quilling, owner of the Tibbs Drive-In Theater on the west side of Indianapolis. He says ticket sales are up compared with last year, but that the conversion to digital projection could be the end for many other drive-ins and smaller indoor theaters. By the way, Indiana has 20 drive-ins, according to a National Trade Association. You probably have heard that there are some people hoping to reopen the Sky High in Muncie. We have a complete list of Indiana drive-ins on our Facebook page, along with a link to the Tibbs. And get this, information about a promotion by Honda to donate 5 of those $75,000 digital projectors to the drive-in theaters that get the most votes online. Ed is hoping you'll go there and vote for his theater.
Stranded at the drive-in, branded a fool. What will they say Monday at school?
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Is the drive-in theater a vanishing blip on the landscape, a victim of multiplex theaters, changing tastes, tired owners ready to cash out? Well, not yet, anyway. Indiana still has 20 of them, according to a National Drive-In Trade Association, fourth largest total of any state in the country. And over on the west side of Indianapolis, Ed Quilling is holding out. In a city that once had 18 drive-ins, he's the last one left. There have been news stories saying that many drive-ins could be sunk by the cost of converting to digital projection. But Ed says business is good, and he is staying open, though it'll cost him about $300,000 to install four digital projectors in the spring. We thought, here in the waning days of summer, it would be fun to revisit the drive-in and see what we've been missing all these years. And so we found the Tibbs, tucked away next to a pretty gritty industrial corridor, under the flight path of the Indianapolis Airport, not far away.
Why did this place survive and the others not make it?
Well, I think one thing, our location, the land wasn't prime for a strip mall.
How would you describe this area where we are?
Well, where we're at, across the street and down the road is all industrial with salvage yards. Half a mile down the road was the old Chrysler foundry.
So it's kind of an industrial area to west side.
Yes, and people, from the foundry and that, they remember it, and so they do keep coming.
The economics of the business are such that the theater that maybe you and I went to when we were kids were one ticket booth and one screen. That just doesn't work out anymore because of the economics of the business? You need to have multiple screens or?
Well, yeah. I mean, for sure, you need all the pictures. You know, it's a guessing game. If you have to pick every week what movie's going to be the best and you pick wrong, you're in trouble. So that used to be the problem years ago. And with the multiplexes, they just get everything. Like with four screens, we get everything. But the singles and twins have to watch and make sure they book the right movies in.
As a movie theater owner, can you remember a bet that went really your way? You said, I know this is going to be a hit, and you ordered it up and it worked out well for you?
Well, you get a picture and all of a sudden it does well. It's a sleeper. And you can run it forever and people keep coming back for, a few years ago, the first Hangover. We got that and then all of a sudden that just kept going. Last year, the movie Ted, that kept going and going.
What's been the hit for this summer? I mean, we would see the sales figures and stuff like that. But based on that and what you're seeing out here at Tibbs.
Well, Fast and Furious was big.
And that would be a big drive-in movie, action.
Right,
and,
right. Yeah. Despicable Me 2 for the kids. Yeah. That did very well.
Do some movies do better in drive-ins than they do in regular screens?
Yes, action movies seem to do much better. But anymore, we can run anything and we do well. But the action, we get the reports every week of per screen dollars and that.
So when we hear on the news that such and such a movie did real well and it led the box office that week, you'll see it. It's the same way here. It's not like a movie will do well in the drive-in atmosphere than...
Correct. And that's the paying customer's money. We don't keep all that. That has to go back to the movie stars and the studio.
Some of the stuff people don't understand. I mean, they say... I'm paying $10 a person. What's the reality of that?
Right, in the drive-in studios are getting 60% of that money that comes in.
So $6 goes right to the studio.
Correct.
And how much goes to your staff, would you say, out of a typical $10 ticket? Another two or three?
Oh, at least that. At least the concession, where we're a lot different than a indoor with our concession, our food, we do well on that. So,
but that takes
helps
cheap.
Us.
That takes people. You're not buying like a bag of popcorn somewhere and just heating it up or something. Like that.
No. We're popping it here, doing our own everything.
So is this the kind of situation where you really make your money on the food and the ticket prices just keep the lights on?
Right. We do well with the concession, and that mainly helps pay all the bills and all.
Drive-ins have been actually featured in movies.
Right. Well, this summer there was a scene filmed here for a movie called Walter that's coming, going to be out at the Sundance Film Festival. With William H. Macy and Virginia Madsen. And then last week, there's another local one that is going to come out maybe tonight. Matter of fact, they want to film a scene for their movie that they're working on. So
where else are they going to go?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of calls. They want to use the drive-in as a backdrop.
Now, assuming, because anything could be for sale, I mean, somebody could come along here and want to develop this or something, what would make you give this up? I mean, you...
Well, the right price, I guess, would do it, like anything, but...
But, I mean, do you like the business? Is there something...
Yeah,
tell me about why people like the business.
I like it. It's enjoyable. We do well. And we have some employees that started when they were 13, 14, and they're still here, and they're, in a way, running the place for us. So, you know, for their sake, I would like to keep it going and help them out at some point. Maybe, you know, we can work out a deal with them for the purchase.
Would you say that total receipts for drive-in theaters are going down? Is that the general perception?
No. If at one time they said if you take all the drive-ins about 5 years ago, it's as a whole, they're the 10th largest theater chain in the country. And the studios tried to help the drive-ins with helping with the digital and paying for that conversion a certain percentage, but it was just poor timing for most drive-ins and for me to be able to have them help us.
You think those guys, when they fly over, when the screens are on, they can see what's going on?
Yeah, I hope they're not watching. I hope they're focused on the runway and not the screen.
Ed Quilling, owner of the Tibbs Drive-In Theater on the west side of Indianapolis. Drive-ins across the country are facing a tough time as the industry shifts to digital projection. Can't say if they're exactly an endangered species yet, but if you want to catch the nostalgia and are looking for the drive-in nearest you, we have a list of all the ones in Indiana on our Facebook page.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy, the chocolate bars and the candy.
Well, summer's almost over, but there's still time to catch one of those hallmarks of the season, a show at the drive-in. You may not have been to an outdoor movie for a while. I couldn't remember the last time I was, but I made a trip to the west side of Indy the other night to see the Tibbs drive-in. Once there were 18 outdoor movies in Indianapolis. Now the Tibbs is the last one. In charge are Ed and Agnes Quilling and projectionist Mark Suris.
My name's Mark Suris, and I'm the projectionist at the Tibbs Drive-In Theater.
So you're running the equivalent of four movie theaters in this room the size of a living room.
Right. That's what we're doing.
Do things ever go wrong? Does the film ever...
It can be, but as long as you take care of it, and that's what they do here. They employ me full-time here just to take care of the booth. So... You got somebody up here taking care of the booth that something shouldn't go wrong because you do a lot of pre-made maintenance and everything.
Talk about these projectors that we're looking at because they look like they've been around for a while.
Well, like I said, they have been around for a while. When they made a 35mm projector, they made it to run forever, and they've just been upgraded. You know, this was original. It's been upgraded to what's called the Scion sound track that's on the print. We run the red light. Used to that was a exciter bulb going into a photo cell. Now it's just going into a digital reader and it's reading it off the film. And that's basically what you got here.
How old would you say this projector is that we're standing next to?
I would guess it was put in the 70s, 1970, and it was probably not a new projector then, I would guess. Like the XLs, the other two projectors that are in here, they were built probably in the 50s. But projector heads were made to last, and that's something that digital doesn't last as long as these would last.
You know. Do you have to fix this when things go wrong?
Yeah, and we've got people that, you know, we got maintenance people around too, but there's really not much that goes wrong. Not as long as you take care of it.
Now, are they going to send you off to school or something for the digital?
I already know how to run the digital. I've been taught by our local how to run the digital. You know.
because it's already in use in some other theater.
Right. Well, I think we're the only... I don't think there's another theater left in the city that runs film but us. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but I think they're all digital. I think we're the only one left around that runs film.
Do you think we're going to miss something when these are gone, these projectors?
I don't know, really. I mean, it's not film anymore. You know, like the film buffs say, and I know the film students aren't happy. Some of them aren't happy about it. They want film and not digital. But
can you tell the difference when you're watching?
Yeah.
You go out to the movie?
Well, in an indoor house, I haven't seen much on a drive-in screen, but yeah, you can. And sometimes, then I have been fooled. It was film and not digital. It just depends on the quality of the print. You know, but yeah, I mean, it's an art that's going to be gone, and I never thought I'd see the end of film. I've been doing this since I was 17 years old, so.
Is it fun running these movies?
Yeah, I enjoyed it back in the old days when you'd done carbon arc reel to reel, and you know, I ran it reel to reel the old fashioned way and grew up.
And what that means is you're running a projector, the film's on a reel.
You have two identical projectors focused on one screen. The movies come in 20-minute reels, and every 20 minutes you run one reel on one projector, the next reel on the other one. This was called a changeover, and it's timed, and you never notice that the operator is changing projectors. Unless he misses the change.
Well, we used to see those little white dots,
called cue dots, and that's how you knew to sync them together.
It's not as if they're just going to throw a Blu-ray disc in
that. No.
Runs off of a hard drive?
Well, the movies come in on a hard drive, yeah. They're secured, and you got to go through all the security process.
That's Mark Saris, projectionist at the Tibbs Drive-In on the west side of Indianapolis. Honda has a promotion in which they're giving away several digital projectors to the drive-ins that get the most votes online. If you want to vote for your favorite drive-in, you can find a list of the Indiana ones on our Facebook page, along with a link to the Honda promotion.
Every time I have a date, there's only one place to go, that's to the drive-in. It's such a groovy place to talk and maybe watch a show down at the drive-in.
And that, friends, is the last reel of our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a comment. Be sure to check out our Facebook page for photos and video from some of our stories. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.